Welcome to episode 22 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. On this week's show, I'm on the road again, this time heading back from a shoot with artist Kirsty Hall. It was a pretty long day by the time I got back, and we shot some really nice, simple pictures which Kirsty will be using in various ways to promote herself and her art. At the end of the show, I'm also going to be revealing the winner of the recent Rough Guides book giveaway competition. Now, I know a lot of you have been eagerly awaiting this, so you'll be pleased to hear we're just minutes away from the all-important announcement. But for now, let's get straight into the show. Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 22. It's just about 10 to 7 in the evening, and it is an absolutely lovely evening. I'm sat in my car at a motorway service station. I've got, I don't know if you can hear this, terrible sound effect. I've got a really nice chilled Frappuccino coffee drink here, and I'm just heading back from a shoot which I did in Bristol. It was at 11 o'clock this morning. And just giving you guys a bit of information about that, really. So, yeah, the background of this. You guys who follow me on Twitter may have seen me speaking to a lovely lady called Kirsty Hall. Now, Kirsty is an artist in Bristol, and she and I talk fairly frequently on Twitter, and going back a while, she asked me if I would photograph some of her artwork. Now, this has been in the planning for quite some time, because, and this goes back a few months, because if you remember in the UK when we had all the snow and all the the colder weather, it was around that time which the shoot had been rescheduled for. So it's been a long time coming. Anyway, the setup for this shoot, basically I went to bed about 1 a.m. last night or this morning, getting all my kit ready, because I wanted to make sure that I was covered for pretty much all eventualities. I knew the sort of work that I'd be photographing, I knew the sort of backgrounds, the sort of thing that we'd be thinking about. So the kit that I actually loaded into my car, which is doing a great job of weighing down the back of my car, a couple of Pelly cases, one with all my camera kit in, a couple of flash guns there, another Pelly case with, this is the 1510 cases, another one with a load of grip equipment, that containing a couple of stands, magic arms, super clamps, all this sort of thing, and pocket wizards, of course, for the flashlights. I've also got in the boot here, just turning around to see what I've got actually in the car and what's in the boot, a bag full of lighting stands, another bag which contains things like reflectors, blackout material, background drop material, light background stand. I've also got a couple of 75cm EasyBox flash diffuser soft boxes, which is actually what I ended up using in the end. So you can see that although in the event it was a very simple setup, the final pictures, what I actually had to take just to cover myself, because it was it was about a 2 hours 15 minute drive each way, so I wanted to make sure I was covered. So a whole range of kit, lighting. Oh, and I've also got here two Bowens 500 Gemini mains powered lights as well. So let's get to the actual shoot itself. It was a half day shoot, starting at about 11 o'clock. That's when we turned up and just had a look at Kirsty's studio, which was great fun, given that it was up a couple of flights of stairs and I had to initially think I was lugging all of this kit up. But in the event, we didn't need all of it. So I will be adding a picture, I should think, in the show notes, so you can sort of get an idea of the setup. It was a one light setup, which was a Nikon SB800 in one of the 75cm soft boxes on a stand, That was set up with a pocket wizard, and of course there was a corresponding pocket wizard transceiver on the camera. So for those of you that don't know, when the shutter is released on the camera, it sends a signal to the other transmitter that's connected to the flash gun, and with an absolute millisecond, fraction of a second of that shutter being tripped, the flash goes off, and that's how you synchronize the two together. In terms of the background, it actually worked really well in that what we were photographing, which was sort of textile sort of material or paper based sort of very sort of lightweight kind of items, that sort of thing, with a nice kind of, I don't know sort of how you describe, not really rustic, but it had a really nice kind of quality arty feel to it, if that makes sense. Custy may not like that description, but that's what I'm sort of sticking with. But yeah, the tone, when I'm talking about the tones of the work here, so it was a really nice feel to the work. The backdrop that we used was actually one of the walls in Kirsty's studios, which was a nice complementary color, sort of a creamy sort of off-white color, which worked really well. That was essentially all there was to it. We had a skylight window which was throwing light into the room, but because I was setting up the flash to essentially cut out all or nearly all daylight, it wasn't a factor. I think in the event we were shooting somewhere like f16 ISO 200 with the shutter speed, this is all on manual on the camera, the shutter speed was somewhere in the region of a 40th of a second or 60th of a second. The camera's on the tripod, so there's no camera shake. Incidentally, I used the self timer in these instances. I think it was on a 2 second delay, so I could stand away from the camera, and that was really it. So we did some overall sort of wider full length, longer length shots, but then for each piece that we photographed, there were some close up detail shots. So for example, a number of the items was textile with pins, so we wanted to get a really nice close-up shots as well to show the pins going through the material. The light was at such an angle, something like 45 degrees, that it just gave some really nice highlights on the metal, but also went through the material, so that when we actually zoomed into the back of the camera on the LCD to see the detail, you could see the individual. Some of them, another piece had stitches on a dress there, and what have you. You could see all the details of the actual materials. There was another item which had sequins on it, and that was really good, using the same lighting setup. Essentially, nothing really changed across the whole of the shoot. One light from about 6 feet away, something like that, at an angle of about 45 degrees. With the sequins, if you've ever photographed or even just looked at sequins, when the light hits it in a certain way, it brings out a load of colour that's in there. So that worked really well. Now, the pictures are going to be used for a whole range of purposes on Kirsty's website. She's then got them, if she has exhibitions or has to do any profile sort of write-ups, any interviews, anything like that, that she would need illustrations, anything that goes in the magazine, she's got the pictures to support it. I am planning that, and I'm recording this on the Thursday, I'm planning that I'm now going to, by the time I get back tonight, not going to do anything. So tomorrow I'm going to be editing those pictures, and all being well, the pictures should be in the post. Which means they should, first class, arrive on Saturday. So it's just about as quickly as I can turn this around. Some of you guys recently have been asking me about post-production and what I do in Photoshop and how I adjust the pictures. Long story cut short, I don't really do much. I don't like to have to rely on the computer, the post-production stage with the pictures. I like to get the lighting pretty much as I want it at the shooting stage, so using the histogram and the highlight blinkies feature on the camera to make sure that it's well exposed. There's no sharpening in camera. What I tend to do, you got to remember that flashlight is very clean, it's very very nice, very sharp, so that brings out a lot of detail as well. So what I'll do is I'll run the pictures through Camera Raw, and I have certain settings which are just standard. So for example, the pictures go through there, and I think, such as it is, and this may not mean much to you if you have your own settings and your own camera settings, with my camera, the way I shoot, the way I light and all the rest of it, the sharpening I put on all of my pictures, most of the time, 90% of the time, is in the sharpening box, is 45. But as I say, that might not work for you because your camera will have its own settings and your approach might be different. One thing worth mentioning is, in terms of lighting, say all of these items were very light. They're either white or sort of off-white in colour. Now, there are two things that I needed to bear in mind. First of all, colour fidelity, to make sure that the colours are right. There are different ways to make sure your colour is as you want it. As long as you've got something that you know what the colour is as a reference, then that's a good starting point. So in the past I've used a business card, because I've got a stack of those, I've always got them by my side, and I know what colour they are. And of course you have to remember the colour of the light, you know, what light is falling on them, how it changes it. But one of the surefire ways to get your colour right is, on your first test shot, when you've got your lighting right, you have what's known as a grey card, which is a neutral grey, clue in the name, neutral grey card. You hold that, or place that in front of the subject, or if you're photographing someone, you get them to hold that just in front of them. And then when you come to do your post-production, when you come to work on your pictures, however you want to do it, you can use the color dropper tool to just click on that gray card, and that is basically telling the color settings of your editing suite, whatever, that is your neutral point. And what you should find, 9 times out of 10, that is almost always spot on the colour. So all of a sudden your whites are white, the silver is a proper silver, all the rest of it. Don't ever go by what's on the back of your camera, because sometimes you'll be lucky and it'll be spot on. But for example, I know with my camera, you guys know it's a Nikon D3, that the screen is a very cool colour, so everything appears more warm, more milky in the final pictures. But I've got this reference card, and that's my reference, so it works every time. You can use it if you've just got a piece of white paper, that'll work as well. The other point that I had to think about was, with these certainly with a number of the pieces, shooting from further away, so we're getting full length, and that was probably about 10 foot, something like that, up straight towards this wall, it's very difficult to focus on these objects. Now, of course, you can go with the manual focus, but you know, more often than not, you'll rely on the autofocus. But what I always would do, as was the case today, is hold an object or place an object in front of the subject that is a very graphic shape or very strong. So in this case, we had a small blue, if you guys know the cutting mats that you can use to trim your prints or what have you, blue one of those, kind of the size of about a sort of a DL size envelope, and that was blue with sort of white lines on it. So that being a very graphic strong shape against the kind of white of the textiles that was behind it ready to be photographed, that was held pretty much as close as possible to the material, and then the autofocus locked onto that straight away, and that was the starting point. So on those particular shots where that was required, I set the focus, then once that was set, turned the camera to manual, or you can do it on the lens, set the lens to manual, and then you just don't touch the focusing at all, because you know the subject's not going to move, the camera's not going to move because it's on a tripod, and then you can just carry on shooting your pictures as you are. And when you're shooting at something like f16 or f 22 even, something like that, you know that because the depth of field, the area of sharpness, extends a third in front of and two-thirds beyond that point of focus, you know that everything's going to be sharp front to back. And that was the way it worked. A couple of other pieces, we didn't need to do that because the actual object's Custy's artwork was strong enough that, you know, the focusing just picked up on it straight away. The lighting, this was the other point I was going to say. With light objects, my approach is shooting at ISO 200, you're not going to have any noise in the pictures unless you seriously underexpose the pictures, so that when in post-production you try to save those pictures and lighten them up, it's going to bring out all the noise because of the shadow areas and all the rest of it. Totally lost my train of thought. When you're lighting those objects, my approach is, and it might only be sort of a third of an f-stop or one f-stop's difference, just to almost light the objects a little bit, not quite bright enough, because what that then means is that when I go into post-production, or I say post-production, it makes it sound like I'm going to do lots of work on the pictures, which of course I'm not, but when you go into your software, you get the colour right first of all, because it does, funnily enough, it does make a difference with your how you perceive the pictures and what have you. Get the colour right, you can then look at the picture as a whole, and you just lift the picture with your levels or with your slider bars, whatever software you're using, you just lift those slightly by that third or one f-stop, and that then makes the pictures perfectly exposed. I mean, they weren't underexposed, but sort of, you know, could have been brighter at the time capture. That just lifts them up, but it means that you're not burning out the highlight areas. It's a bit like if you're photographing a wedding and you're looking at the back of your camera and the bride's dress, it's been a long day, the bride's dress is on the highlight indicators, is flashing away, you know you've burnt out all of the detail in that dress. Now, I do know that when you are working with RAW files, certainly with my camera, the way it's set up, as with many people's, there's often a bit more detail in there than it suggests. But basically, if it's showing that all the highlights are burnt out, you don't want to be in that situation. So yeah, the pictures were ever so slightly darker. They looked fine, but just a little bit darker than I essentially would like in the final image. And then that was that will just be brightened up a fraction, and that will lift the pictures up, and they're going to look lovely. So there's a series of pictures there, a series of wider shots, closer detail shots across a range of different artworks. Those are going to be sent on a disc to Kirsty tomorrow, and yeah, look forward to seeing how they get used. Now, I'm going to send you guys, I'm actually going to post a link to Kirsty's site so you can have a look for yourself. I think at the time that you hear these, of course, they won't have reached, by the time you've heard this, the pictures won't have reached us, so don't expect to see any of those on the site. But yeah, it's worth having a look, and might sort of give you guys an idea about how you can use photography for your own artwork, or if you are being asked to photograph people's artworks or artists in their studios, might give you some idea. So hopefully that's given you a bit of a background information. As ever, you can always email me, talk to me on Twitter, whatever, and I will answer any questions you might have. Okay, so there was a fair bit of technical talk in there, but as is often the case, the shoot itself really was very straightforward once we were up and running. Right then, the result of the Rough Guides giveaway competition. First of all, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who took the time to enter, and also to those who kindly spread the word on Facebook and Twitter. Now, Office Cat has quite literally pored over the entries, noting the many references to my ever-receding hairline. Thanks very much for that, by the way. But with all said and done, he's decided that his favourite caption came courtesy of, bit of a drum roll, another terrible sound effect, Dave McMillan. So congratulations, Dave, I'll be in touch shortly, and the book will be on its way to you this week. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I am on Twitter at Giles Babbage. My Facebook page is Giles Babbage Photography. And of course, you can send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.